Welcome to the ministry of First Reformed Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our worship services begin at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Now we join Pastor Hank Bone as he brings God's Word.
For our Bible reading, we turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is a psalm of David. In there are some thoughts and meditations, some particular verses that you may be familiar with. But as we go through these psalms, we go through them as prayers, the prayers of David. And so while there may be statements that are very precious to us, there is a train of thought that runs through that we need to likewise make ourselves very aware of, even embrace, even integrate into our own way of thinking and our own thoughts and how we come before the Lord. So in Psalm 27, David opens, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. And such as breathe out violence, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, King David reflects throughout his Psalms that he wrote the innermost turmoil that he found in the world's continually pressing upon him conflict. Conflicts from his enemies, conflict from the lust of his own flesh, and conflict of the soul that tempts him to doubt God's deliverance. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." One of the great challenges that face each and every one of you is the conflict of faith. The Christian may spend their whole life in this world facing conflict, battling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, Paul said in Ephesians 6:12. But even as the world pressed in upon David, it served to drive him more and more to trust in his God. And so it is for you. God has given His word and His promise that in the midst of conflict, God will be your refuge and strong tower. It is in the name of the Lord that we seek peace from all enemies, because there alone do those who belong to the Lord find comfort. In the first three verses, we see David's confidence in the Lord. He opens with these beautiful words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 12 times you can find this phrase, the Lord is my, throughout the Scriptures. The Lord is my strength and song. We see in Exodus 15:2, in Psalm 118:14, in Isaiah 12:2. In Exodus 17:15, the Lord is my banner. In 2 Samuel 22:2 and Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. In Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. Zechariah 13:9, the Lord is my God. And Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. Each and every one of those thoughts bear one thing in common. Confidence in the Lord as the very possession of their life. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong. Think about that. That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our confidence. In Psalm 27, David speaks to the context of his thoughts in the verses 2 and 3. The context is the face of his enemies who come to destroy him. The wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me. David knew adversity, but David does not flinch at such conflict because he ends, in this I will be confident. In what? That the Lord is my light. That the Lord is my salvation. The Lord stands and looks to be my strength and my life. David is confident of that. The word strength carries the force of a place of safety. The Lord is the strength of my life. He is the hiding place. He is that refuge that I go to when I find myself pressed down and troubled and discouraged. I go there and I hide. The world may press in on us, but we will retreat to God for our safety. In the verses 4 through 6, we see David's progression of thought here as he meditates upon the communion he has with his God. It is in his communion with the Lord that David rests in safety. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In these words of David, we may find him reflecting upon those times when he was pursued and had to flee from his palace. His wives were kept from him, his kingdom taken away. And yet the one thing that he desired was to dwell in the house of the Lord. That was what troubled him the most. It was his being deprived of coming before God in worship that was the one thing he could not do without. In these COVID days, the church has been locked down in many places. People have been barred from the church either by ordinances or by fear. But the effect is the same. Christians have been deprived access into the house of the Lord. There have been means by which the church has still engaged in worship through live streaming, but it's not the same as the gathering of the assembly before God to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His holy place. But the earthly temple, or today the church building, where the people of God gather, points to a greater communion. On earth, God dwells in us. We have become the temple of God in our bodies. But the even greater temple still stirs us to look even further and to see that there awaits for us an eternal dwelling place in the heavens where Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. We desire to dwell in the presence of God all the days of our life. David expresses the true and deepest desire of every believer when he said he desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. Twice in verse 5, David said that God shall hide me. But the two words are different Hebrew words. The first one pictures the storing of treasure or something valuable. God will store us up in His pavilion, in His dwelling place as His own peculiar people in whom He takes delight. I heard a story this week where there was a tremendous storm, as we've had the lightning and the thundering, the storms coming through. And the wife was extremely fearful and shuddering and shaking. And her husband was standing there calmly in peace. And she goes, "How can you be so calm? How can you be such peace? The whole world is coming undone." And he pulled out a knife and he held it to her. And he said, "Are you afraid of this?" And she goes, "No." He goes, "Why?" She goes, "Because you'll never stab me. You love me." And he says, "God, our Father who controls the elements, will He do us harm?" David senses things the same way. Though heaven and earth may shake, yet God is our God. The second occurrence here for Hyde refers to moving one to a place of safety from dangers. We who are His treasure, God hides us and He moves us from the storms of life to a place of safety. In Christ, we are built upon the rock that is immovable. Hidden in Jesus, we not only have been moved to a place of safety from God's wrath in the day of the Lord, but He also watches over us in the storms of everyday living. Because we are His treasure. We are His peculiar people. He has called us and He has sent His Son to die for us. His love is spread over us. And not a hair can fall from our head without the will of our Father in heaven. And that all things ultimately lead to our good, to our entering into that eternal life in heaven before His throne. Thus David wrote in verse 6 that his heart and desire were to engage in worship. For the Christian, your Sunday worship should be the highlight of your week. Nothing should be more satisfying, and when you are hindered from worship, it should feel like something is missing, something's not right, and you have been deprived of that which brings the greatest sense of peace and comfort in your life. David then moves on in the verses 7 through 12 with a cry unto the Lord. Verse 7 is that pivotal point in Psalm 27. The verse up to this point has been moving David in his thoughts to entering into the presence of God in worship. But in verse 7, he now stands before the face of God. Here we now have the saints cry unto the Lord, his cry to his God. In two positive things, he pleads with God. In verse 7, we read, "Hear my cry and have mercy upon me." There is nothing more pressing than that our sins are forgiven. Nothing else matters in approaching God until we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In verse 8, God called, "Seek my face." But to come unto the Lord, one must be of a pure heart. And David was a man who was known as a man with a heart for God. But David was a sinner. Terrible sin. Horrible sin. As he sought to hide his sin, one sin led to another that led to another. In another psalm, he says, "It's as though my bones had dried up within me." But when God's mercy broke forth, he was refreshed. The second positive thing David cries to God for is found in verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path." When the sinner is called by God, the first step is forgiveness. And the second is discipleship. Forgive me and teach me. They go hand in hand. We cannot ask for God's forgiveness, but not have any desire to know about Him. The natural man does not seek the things that are spiritual. But the spiritual man yearns to be in the presence of God and to learn of the righteousness of God, to drink of it, and to thirst after it. Why is the church key to the believer's communion with God? It is because there God provides the primary way by which the believer dwells with and learns about the God who is their light and their salvation. But there are also a series of do-nots here in this cry that are expressions of the yearning to sense that presence of God in one's life. Verse 9, "Do not hide your face from me. the desire for uninterrupted communion with God. He goes on, do not turn your servant away in anger. The desire to be welcomed in the presence of God, to sense His love, to be enveloped in it. Do not leave me nor forsake me. The desire for an unbreakable union with God the Father. And as you hear those words, do not leave me nor forsake me, two passages that come to your mind. The first is Jesus upon the cross when he cries out in his final words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's David's greatest fear. To have that sense that God has turned his back and that all the blessings of God have been removed, all the comforts, all the promises are gone. And he stands without hope in the world. That's David's greatest fear. And Jesus took upon himself all of our fears, all of our anguish, all of our pain upon the cross. Because God the Father did, in fact, turn from the Son and pour out upon him all of his wrath and judgment. But the second statement that comes to mind are Jesus' words of promise after he's risen, before he ascends. When he looks down upon the disciples and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those words come to us. Come to us as God's people so that we will never experience what Christ experienced upon the cross. That is his promise. That is David's greatest realization that God will never forsake him. And that is ours as well. Interestingly, he moves right into verse 10 with a comment about how an earthly parent may forsake or turn their backs on their child. But it is at that moment that the child of God finds their refuge in the salvation of the Lord. God is that greater than our earthly father. Faithful, loving, never forsaking. The last do not is do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. David here has primarily those worldly adversaries that seek his life and desire to do violence to him as God's anointed. But it is just as much the case that crying to God to hold us in the communion that he enriches us with and keeps us in, and in so doing keeps us from the world, takes hold of us. If the world grabs hold of us, we shall be lost if the Lord should release his hand. In Corinthians, there was a member who was ensnared in a terrible sin that was bringing a corrupting effect upon the whole body of the church and a terrible witness into the community. And the Apostle Paul wrote and said, to turn that one back to Satan, to return him to the world. That is a picture of exactly what David is praying. God will not allow to happen. God, let me never leave the church. Let me never find comfort in the world. Let me never be a friend of the world. Because friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Our desire, our cry, is that God's communion may be maintained. That we would walk with the Lord all the days of our life. The privileges of the church are the lifeblood of the believer. To be returned to the world is to have the soul dried up and to be robbed of the hope of eternal life. The word excommunicate means simply to no longer have that status of being in communion with God or the people of God. You know, long before one is declared excommunicate by the church, something has happened in that individual. Something has happened in them spiritually to interrupt or disturb that desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, to be in God's presence. They have been drawn away by a love of the world and a lust of the flesh. David understood that. David not only needed God's mercy, and to sense that mercy and forgiveness being continually extended to him as an expression of God's love for him. But he also longed to be taught of God. This week, the church saw a saint through whom the church was greatly blessed realize his eternal hope. J.I. Packer, at the age of 93, wrote the book Knowing. Well, he died at the age of 93. But he wrote the book many, many years ago, Knowing God. And that book has blessed the lives of millions of believers and will continue to do so for years to come. Dr. Packer understood what David is expressing here, that the knowledge of not only things about God is important, but even more important is to know who God is, to know God in an intimate sense, in a personal way. That is the knowledge that brings passion with it. So not only do we need to know God's mercy, but we need to be taught and to know God Himself. Well, say David brings this psalm to a close in the verses 13 and 14 with a confession before the Lord. Knowing God will bring the sinner into a union with God that leads to confession before the Lord. And we see David end this psalm with a confession of his faith. In verse 13, he said, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." David understands he would have lost heart if God had let go of him. He would have lost heart if God had turned his back on him. David was able to persevere through all conflict, all adversity, to face all enemies because of faith in God. As a believer, what is it that keeps you in church? It is faith. Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." It is that believing in God that stirs you down in your heart and your soul. In the recesses of your mind, there is that conscious realization of God's presence. The Christian believes that God is not only present here in this world bringing blessing and joy, but that He will bring us into an even greater rest in the life to come. A greater presence. We will know Him more intimately, more dearly, more clearly. David understood that it was faith that prevented him from losing heart. Are there times that you are discouraged? Of course. Have you entertained thoughts of doubt? Naturally, all Christians at times have their faith challenged. But David, like all Christians, did not lose heart. Like Abraham, who believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, so the believer trusts that what God has promised, He will deliver because He cannot fail. But think about Abraham for a moment. He was promised a son, a seed, a promised seed, through whom all nations would be blessed. And yet Abraham was almost 100 years old, and he still did not have a son. He had waited and waited and waited, and yet he believed. Even though his believing was challenged at times, Abraham believed that he would see God's goodness displayed in the land of the living. And it has been over and over. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that promise to Abraham. Jesus is the promised seed who came and laid down his life as a blessing to all nations. We are the benefactors of the promise to Abraham, and by faith we have embraced the promised seed as our Savior. Jesus is the goodness of the Lord to us here and now, with more to come. David ends with this conclusion in verse 14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." The course of the Christian life is one of extreme patience. Why? Because while we may experience the goodness of God in this life, our hope is built upon the promise of a heavenly dwelling place. Even Abraham, who moved his family to an unknown country, understood that the earthly land he was promised was only a taste of the fullness of the world to come. He looked for another country, a heavenly and a spiritual country. In these words, David teaches us the perseverance of the faith. Do you wonder and doubt at times as a Christian when you struggle in your faith? David says, "Be of good courage." Do you find yourself at times sensing a lack of love for God the way that you know you should love God with all your heart? Again, David says, "He shall strengthen your heart." In the midst of struggle and conflict, When doubts may arise and fear sets in, David encourages you with these words. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Our God and Father, what a delight it is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gather together, to come together and to grow under the hearing of your word, to be given this hope, a hope that passes not away, a hope that is imperishable. Father, we pray with David that even in the midst of all the conflicts that exist around us, yet we fear no evil because you are our God. You are that one who hides us in places of safety. You are our light and our salvation. You are our strength in life. Hear us now as we pray as the Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, in response to God's word that we have heard, let us turn our hymnals to hymn number 568, taken from this psalm.